12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Just one very short expression. Hebrews chapter 12, the middle of verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One's desire, beloved brethren, is that for a few moments that the Spirit of God would take our hearts and our minds and engage them with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with this in view, I want to read to you the first half of Psalm 22. Psalm 22. I'm going to start by reading the title of the psalm. To the chief musician, upon Ajaleth-Shaphar, a psalm of David. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me. From the horns of the unicorns, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And now for a few verses in John's Gospel. John chapter 19, just verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary? She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. In following out the exercise of the dear brethren as to the theme of this conference, the thought that Christ should be all and in all and everything. We've already probably been reminded by the scriptures that we read this morning that in a coming day the Father, God himself, will move the whole universe in order that his Son might be supreme. In all things, he must have and he will have the preeminence. One simple desire, beloved brethren, is that that might be true of me and my life now. That to me now, Christ might mean everything, and that he might be in all that I say and do. I have simply, beloved brethren, desire to speak to our hearts the suffering love of Christ. I believe that there is nothing in the scriptures that has the ability to bring home to me the wonder and depth of the love of Christ that passeth all understanding, and in answer to it to beget in my soul and in my affections love for him, which after all, beloved brethren, is the most vital thing in my life, is the basis for everything in my life for the Lord, a deep soul attachment to himself. I say again, I do not know of anything that is more able to do this than a quiet contemplation of the suffering love of Christ. It may seem to you unusual in a meeting like this to read to you such a solemn, holy portion of the Word of God. Beloved brethren, these psalms that in a unique way bring home to us those inward feelings of the soul of Christ, they're there for our consideration. They're there for our hearts to muse upon. They're there that the Spirit of God may deepen in our souls understanding what the cross meant to Jesus. It has been said, you know, these little things are helpful for the study of the scriptures. That in the Pentateuch we have the figures of the death of Jesus. In the prophets we have the foretellings of the death of Jesus. In the gospels we have the facts of the death of Jesus. In the epistles we have the fruits of the death of Jesus. But in the Psalms, you have the feelings of the heart of Christ. In his life, in many of them, but in the psalm that I have read, together with perhaps the 69th and the 102nd, we have those deep revelations, the anguish of his soul, when God dealt with him in regard to my sins. Let us never forget, beloved brethren, the deep reality of the fact that when Jesus died upon the cross, he suffered me. I'm not preaching the gospel, beloved brethren. Although if there is a soul here that does not know the love of Christ, let me tell you, there is nothing to be had in life compares with an understanding and an appreciation of the love of Jesus. Let us see to it, beloved brethren, that whilst we move in the midst of a world that is going further and further away from God, and is more perhaps than ever, if it be possible, coming under the control and domination of the powers of darkness. And I say this feelingly to our younger brethren, and those that are perhaps getting on a little bit, middle-aged, be careful of the Middle Ages. 40 is a dangerous time of life. Beloved brethren, let us see to it that nothing comes between my soul, my affections, and the person of Christ. Everything else will go. If there is not sustained in our souls deep and personal attachment to himself. I read to you those verses from Hebrews that give us to understand that there was an end in view for him, the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Joy was to be his result cross. Part of that joy, my dear beloved brethren, is having me, you, with him eternally. Part of that joy, having your heart and mine engaged with himself and his person. No. One of the things that was involved was going to the cross. Joy that was set before him, the which endured. I want us to consider a little bit, a few moments, was involved in the enduring cross. But you know, you may wonder why I read those verses concerning Mary Magdalene. You may wonder why I read the title of the psalm. You may think that this psalm commences a pitiful cry from the cross. It doesn't. The psalm is written to the chief musician, on Ajaleth Shaha, which means mind of the morning. I thought it'd get difficult expression to find exactly what it refers to. I'm only going to make some suggestions. Once heard a revered brother suggest that it could refer to the dramatic way early in the morning the sun rises in eastern lands. The light of a new day bursts the horizon. It shoots up into the sky, two, I am told, shafts of light. Some, Eve may be referred to, nine of the morning. Evidently, the psalm, a bright and glorious day in view. Written to the chief musician. The idea of a musician, a chorus and song in Scripture, that which comes from hearts that have an experience with God, because of what that experience produces in their souls, sing. They can sing to God, can praise Him. You cannot but read this psalm, realizing that when you get on into it a little bit, the bursting forth, that there was a movement out from the sorrows of the cross, to the glory of a new day. Firstly, he who erstwhile hung impaled upon that tree says, read the quotation in Hebrews chapter 2, even more emphatic, amidst of the assembly, sing thy praise. Here, beloved brethren, we have a psalm, takes us into the innermost soul of Christ when upon the cross. Not only so, gets us into the knowledge, joy that is his, even now, being able to sing. In the midst of a company, he delights to lead relationship and knowledge, Father. Suggesting, of course, that the psalm goes that far. It's actual meaning. I believe the psalm literally goes beyond the kingdom of Israel. The fact that the Spirit of God takes up the sentiments of the psalm in the Epistle to the Hebrews is the authority. Take from this psalm that which one has said. Apply it to the heart of Christ now. Glory. Even now, as he will do, when are with him and like him in the Father's house. Hearts, one by means of Calvary's tree, the deep, eternal bridge. Father's love, Father's face, Father's house and home, all the vivid and vital reality, eternal life, dwelling eternally with divine persons. But we've moved on away. You might know that Mary Magdalene was of the tribe of Naphtali. You look a bit to find that out. Firstly, you must allow that I am assuming of Magdala was true in her genealogy. I think she was. Magdala, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, that portion of the land that was allocated to the tribe of Naphtali. Trust you will allow the assumption based on those facts. Mary Magdalene, tribe of Naphtali. Read in Genesis the blessing of Naphtali. Find in that blessing the same word in the title of this psalm. The authorized, of course. Hind, Zeus, Earth. Female hind, too. mind in Scripture speaks, I believe, of energy of liberated affections. Read the Song of Songs. I believe you'll come to that conclusion. Mind, particularly in the female, of that subjective work of the Spirit of God in our hearts that will formulate devotion and affection for Christ. Trust you can see the link in the title of Psalm 22. Mary indeed was a hind that had been liberated, had cast out of her 7 demons. It was a soul that was completely dominated by the power of Satan. The same, dear friend, as you and I were when we were in our sins and didn't know the Lord, had come under the power of the Son of God, delivered her. Only that one heart. And I, dear brethren, have been liberated from the power of Satan, the power of the world, the power of death in our hearts. Rule there supreme, all in spirit, very hover. Tomb, and death, hey, Lord, stood by the cross, one of the Marys, and means sorrow, doesn't it? Stood there, with other women, gone, held, of Jesus. Last stand there, to amazement and wonder of God, bring me, dying for me. There, dear friend, do the same. The Spirit of God deepen in your soul of Christ. Let him endure the cross. Suppose Mary ever forgot that sight, that which held her, the tomb, when all the others had gone home. These beloved brethren get a real sight of the cross of Christ formed in our souls, which will give us the ability to maintain and remain to Christ moment. The thing that could come between him and me forever gone. Let's just for a few moments look at Psalm 22. I'll go through all the detail. I don't believe, beloved brethren, in one sense that it would be right. There are some portions of the Word of God, perhaps better put yourself away in your closet, on your knees and read, than perhaps to you publicly. I particularly again to my younger brethren, think of your soul, quiet moments of communion with the Lord, be activity or service or any other thing, invite, must see with Christ, his presence, to him often, ask him, speak to your soul, bring his love. Sound old-fashioned, beloved brethren. We don't know and we don't realize what we're up against. Maybe that some of us haven't really realized what's going on in the world. That gradually, the power of the enemy, really taking over everything that may have once had a vestige of right. Sadly, the gatherings of the saints of God, invaded by these things as well. Just keep near to Christ. Be that many other things will go and may have to go with an understanding. Leave that which will allow me and you, dear brethren, to maintain for Christ in this world. Come in and lay his head upon, as it were, the bosom of hearts that love him. Beloved brethren, if our souls have a deep understanding, went through sin, judgment made. Now, beloved brethren, we would never dare take on our lips words in Corinthians, were they not in Scripture itself, was made sin, made. Try and explain what that means. Believe this, in those 3 hours of darkness, dealt, beloved Son, dealt with sin itself, beloved brethren, holy, noble body, perfect, devoted to God in all its life. The sentiments of this psalm express, I was cast upon thee from the womb. The voice of a heart that had been given up completely to God. earliest exception in manhood in this world, a life completely for God and dependent upon God. Follow his movements through the Gospels again and again and again. Action, manhood. On the cross, God made his soul free. Sin, my dear friend, it was mine. Let us forget it. Never forget, beloved brethren, the debt we owe Christ. The debt we owe to Christ. That he paid. I had to pay it. All the eternal damnation of my soul, which he, in his love, himself, of it. In the way that the words of this psalm bring before us. God, God, hast thou forsaken me? Does there not to be an emphasis upon the thou? Does there not a pathos in the words? As the holy sufferer reviews in his mind that which had been the lot of men of old, our fathers, he here speaks of a godly Jew. He calls those men of old who in measure of Jehovah, been faithful to him, know of it, failed, every one of them. They were delivered, they cried unto thee, thou didst deliver them. Why hast thou forsaken me? Implications, argument, putting. They were but men. Men who in their capacity voted to thee, cried, deliver them. But an expression. I am a worm. Creation. Not have found something that would express lower than that. Much of men despised. And again, just to move on, be helpful just to point out that you can divide this sum up a little bit. I think it would be right to say that the first 11 verses, offerings that he felt of God. Be that from verse 12 to verse 15, suffering that he received from his own earthly people, the Jews. Verse 16 down to verse 20, suffering that he received from the Gentiles. Verse 21, he speaks of the lion's mouth. That refers to death or of Satan. Sometimes of the storm, would thy blessed head. That was his to bear alone in that dark hour. Our sins in all their terror there, God's wrath, his power. End of that little section, the first 11 verses. That he had protested to God. After that, even in that position, and oh, beloved brethren, wonderful that in the midst verses as this, there is a remarkable testimony to his fidelity, affection. That having asked, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of it, beloved brethren, that in that hour of deepest anguish, when in the darkness of the cross, there was a heart that justified the righteousness of what God was doing. Heart, holy, speak of what's involved. Statement. God, in him, God was holy. That, beloved brethren, bring home to us the actuality. Indeed, holy, defies God, in him. As it is in verse 11, far from me, distance, dear friends, dear saints of God, rejection of men, desertion of Peter, disciples. Every time my heart goes after something else, for satisfaction and joy, morning when hanging upon the cross, the forsaking of God. Near is none
solid man. Eternity hung on him at that moment. Eternity hung on him at that moment. One solitary, lonely, forsaken man. Him at that moment. Redemption of our souls and eternal glory of God hung. But he felt it. The cross. Many have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Those that were rightly his, including his people, the kingdom, it was all his by right. Do with Jesus, who is called Christ, away with him. Had been bulls of Bashan. Bashan is that geographical position that was on the other side of Jordan, of which was the king, a monstrosity of a man. Giants, speaks, monstrous powers of evil. Earthly people had been taken captive of by their own Messiah. Speaks of them. Set around. How graphic is this language? If we think for the moment of the power and the terror of a bull, and kneel ability to crush the body life, and able to crush from the soul, stage of hope. It is what is spoken of here. They found he was encircled by them. Was it not that they took counsel how they might destroy him? Put themselves together early in the morning, Caiaphas and Annas, and the leader of the people, and the one thing before him, to destroy. Upon me with their mouths. Ravening lion. Moment of the descriptive language of Scripture. And a lion. The fur of its mouth and its teeth. Language that Scripture uses to describe of Christ, of that of men that he in love had come to save. Brethren, of those actions, to Jerusalem as he approached it for that last time, things of love that were in his heart that led him to say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee? Doth gather her brood. His cloud of calamity that was to descend upon that nation. For the terror of imperial Rome, its terror and its evil, crushing power. In Daniel, I believe, that's likened to the bear. Tear and crush. And then was to be allowed to deal with the children of Israel. Why? Thou know the day of thy visitation. Hid from thine eyes. Road to the cross, there were women that wept for him. He said, not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. In his ability of God, of that which was to happen to that nation, of love that were his for his earthly people, he described them as bulls, lions, dignity and hatred. Terrible things, beloved brethren. He says, I'm poured out of joint, my heart. To you, beloved brethren, but I'm verse. We have this of Christ as to his spirit. Oh. And cross, when he endured these things, as spirit, he says, it's poured out. Body after what he had received, he says, my bones are out of joint. So, melted. I can add to these scriptures. They are in the power of the Spirit to bring to us the reality of the sufferings of Christ on the cross. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death. And then in perhaps in verse 16, Gentiles, dogs, animal, that will delight in that which is vile. Through the Gospels of the treatment that he received from those cruel soldiers. Sympathy. Of natural feeling. Warned men without and compassion of him. Of him. Is the world. There in their aspirations and their thoughts in relation to God, if we have but eyes to see it. That is what the world did to Jesus. There is no escape for him. He was truly that lamb that was caught in a thicket by its horns. There was no him. They look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Fulfillment of Scripture. If on the one hand, intrinsically, the Scripture had said, not a bone of him shall be broken. In his care, Son saw to it that not a bone of him was broken. He was absolutely perfect in his integrity, in his life to God. Not allow his bones to be broken, which of course was first of all said concerning the Paschal Lamb in Exodus 12. Speaks of the perfect integrity of the life of Jesus to God. It also is, and it prophesies, does it not here, that in regard to coat, that which many of it, a life that was devoted to God. Did they save others? He bore witness to the fact that in his life he had served a garment in the life of Jesus. It was perfect. Christ moving out in love toward men in order that men might be brought back to God. And they cast lots that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And he says, pierced my hands. No hands and feet. Use sentimentality. Of the end of the cross by the Son of God. They pierced my hands and my feet. Deliver my soul from the dog to his God for deliverance. My darling, power of the dog. Darling is the same word in the Septuagint that is translated only begotten in John's Gospel, Yashid. The psalm. There is the fact. This psalm speaks of his good son. There is in all its fullness that has come to you and I. He who spared not his own son, my only one, the one who held that place of uniqueness in the affections of his God and Father. That, my dear beloved, was the person who hung and suffered upon the tree. But dramatically changes its tone. Deed was to be deep, but as well was to be the joy, which in reality brings to us to the point of death. The Lord's mouth, the power of Satan. Do you know, I've often, beloved brethren, offended by it, but there came on, dear brethren, when death had dominion over him. Mark chapter 6, concerning his now death no more hath dominion over him. There is an inference verse that there came a moment when he submitted under the power of death. And it is that he cries to his God, save me from out of
not from it, saved from the actual fact of death. He is crying to be saved out of death. From the place of impalement. He says, that's heard. Says in Hebrews, doesn't it? Speaks of his strong crying and his tears, and it says, thou hast heard me. Thou hast heard him because of his integrity, because of his piety, because of who he was. And he comes forth. And in that, he says in the psalm in the midst of the congregation, will I praise thee. Have you noticed that the psalm ends with the that there will be a generation born? Be actually. There will be a generation that will be actually born, that will have a testimony. But I want to suggest, brethren, that the idea of a generation also carries with it not an actual generation, but characterizes a certain class of people. A class be characterized by something or other. It says of him. The New Testament opened with the generation of Jesus Christ. There is maybe actual, but there is in that chronological line that which also is moral. There are four women mentioned in that genealogy. There is a moral characteristic concerning the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Men who are like himself. Men who proceed. As I shall come and I declare his righteousness. I'm suggesting that this is how you come in. A people that shall be born. And what characterizes them? My brother, my dear young sister, sit there at this mosque yourself. What is it that characterizes me? Character of my life. Said Paul, slave of Jesus Christ. There was a lighted and dedicated priest. Their generation of a spiritual order, who their whole life bore testimony to that he has done this. God the Father will motivate the whole universe in a day to come, and the whole vase will blossom forth to acclaim the preeminence God's beloved Son. These high and wondrous thoughts of Scripture must of necessity have the deepest implication upon our lives. Is it true with me now that my life and my testimony bears witness he had this? So I finish with Mary. I finish. And she comes very, you know, to actually demonstrating for us Ajaleth Shaha, the hind of the morning. Because that hind liberated of the tribe of Naphtali, early in the morning, while it was still yet dark, was found at the tomb. There she was. The heart that Christ had won. And there was a heart at that moment that in losing him had lost everything. A true hope. The most object of her life. Where have you? Where have you? She was speaking of the dead body of Jesus. But brethren, if as an outcome of Scriptures, affection for Christ, sort of character, love for him, that is perhaps whate'er it be, unworthy of a. It is that the Spirit of God and the Lord himself communicates the choice of his love. One said that, but they didn't go any further. The angels only could take outward grief. Why weepest thou? And whom at that moment she knew not, who not only grief, but looked right soul, and saw that longed, excited for himself. Have you thought of that? That there is one at this moment in the glory who longs for a response from your heart to himself. Her desire for his precious body. One word. All the blessed of the love of the heart of God. Keep by name his own sheep. And he would lead her. And up and onward. Into that scene to which he was going. You can't have me any more down here. You may have known me after the. You can't know me any more relationship. But he says, go to my brethren. There for him. In thought. He moves out. To which was to be the outcome of his passion and his death and his resurrection. And he gathers in his affection those that the Father had given to him. Not now disciples, not now my friends, but he says my brethren. The union with himself of those that the Father in us had given to him. He says, go and tell my brethren that I sinned. Triumphant. In Christ, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God, on the cross indeed. Times that on record have the Lord Jesus referring to the Father as my God, once upon the cross, and here to this woman, as in the one place he takes the responsibility of man before God and answers it in his death and terminates it forever. And as in the other, under of the position of sons, like unto himself, brought nigh to his God, to be known as their God. But not only so, be brought into that circle of divine love and affection that was his eternal abode of divine person, where love without alloy recipients, where that position that he was man, but oh, beloved brethren, in infinite wonder and grace, on account of the cross, brought you and I into it as well.